For some reason, it seems like every time Pastor Nate is asked to preach to kids have been upstairs. So I don't know if he's got something going on. But since we play this little game at BBS to help the kids keep their attention, so you guys want to play the clapping game real quick. So don't have, but see, if you don't pay attention during the sermon, you'll have to stop in the middle and have to do it again. Okay? So I'm not going to do that. Let's play the clapping. Real close. Good job, guys. All right. So today, I want to ask you all a question here. Does God communicate with people today? And do you ever ask yourself, if God wants me to know him better, then why doesn't he speak to me like he did with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses from the Old Testament? You know, God called Moses his friend. And isn't God my friend? If so, why can't I hear his voice? Have you ever asked yourself that? I can assure you, God is speaking to all of us, all the time. More so than any time in history. More so than he even spoke to the people in the Old Testament. Hearing from God is not as difficult as it may seem. And he's certainly not silent today. You know, there's an old joke that says, if a person talks to God, we call that person a prayer warrior. When a person says God talks to them, we call them nuts. Well, really, did you ever have a person come up to you and say, I heard God tell me this? What is your first reaction when someone says that? And I'll be honest, the first reaction I had is like, oh my God, I got to really hear this now. It's God told me this. And, okay. But really, though, let me say this. If you're new to the church, what do you see and what do you hear that goes on around this place? Let's see. We all walk into the building. We stand around a bit, greeting each other. Then we go to our seats. We sing a few songs. Sometimes we have communion. We place our money in the offering plates, and then we say to ourselves, I wonder what God told the pastor to share with us today. And as you see the pastor come up, you say, I wonder what the word is today. I wonder if the sermon is going to touch my heart. And if the sermon was really good from the pastor, we say, oh, God really spoke to me today. Now, let me ask you, is our pastor nuts too? No, I'm just kidding. He's not nuts. We love Pastor Nate. But I'm here to tell you, God is speaking to you too. And all the time. Today, I would like to show you how God speaks to us in the same way that he's always spoken to us. I would even argue that we have even greater access to hear the voice of God now than ever before. God gave us everything we need to hear his voice, and he is calling. The question is, are we listening and obeying his voice? You know, many people in today's culture say that God is just not there. There are even many Christians today that have doubts that God is hearing their prayers because they say so often that God doesn't, they don't hear a word back from them. But to hear the voice of God, we need to learn how God speaks to us. And how Jesus saw this so clearly. Jesus was always in full communication with his Father in heaven. And sometimes the world broke Jesus' heart. But Jesus always had the answers. Because he was always in communication with his Father. You know, Jesus gave us the same access that he had. To hear from the Father in heaven. But we need to learn to listen for his voice. One person from the Old Testament that knew how to listen for God's voice was Samuel. But before we talk about Samuel, allow me a moment to discuss his mother, Hannah. If you don't know the story of Hannah, you can read about her in the first two chapters of 1 Samuel. And that's where we're going to spend some of our time today. But let me go briefly into the story of Hannah. Hannah had a husband named, give me a moment to pronounce these names. I always struggle with these. Elkanah, who also had a wife named Penina. In the culture back then, some husbands had multiple wives, even though it was forbidden by God. God did not want men to have multiple wives because he knew the pain that it would cause for everyone involved. With Hannah, this was no exception. You see, Elkanah's wife, Penina, was able to have children where Hannah was barren. Penina would even tease and mock Hannah because of this and because of the attention her husband would give to Hannah. But Hannah prayed deeply about the pain she was in and poured out her soul to God for him to give her a son. Hannah even made a vow to God that if he gave her a son, she would give her son to the service of the Lord for all the days of his life, which in those days meant handing him over to live with the high priest in the temple. So pay particular attention to this prayer. I just want to just read a part of Hannah's prayer to God. But I want you to pay particular attention to some of the things that she calls herself. When she prays in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, Hannah says, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. Now, did you notice that Hannah called herself a servant? Now, we don't know for sure if Hannah was a servant of the Lord before this prayer. It doesn't really say anything about that in the previous verses. All we know is the deep misery that Hannah found herself in that moment. She didn't do anything in the service of the Lord up to that point to earn God's ear, as far as we know. She simply came to God with a broken heart and called herself his servant. Now, this is true humbleness. And we see that God listened and answered. Because in verse 19 of the same chapter, it says, and this was verse 19 through 20, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Quite a few years ago, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I remember how courageously my mom fought over the course of a year, but the cancer just kept spreading. For every victory she had, it spread more and more. And one day I received a dreaded call from my sister back in Chicago that I needed to come home right away. My sister told me that my mom was taken from the hospital to come live her last few days at home in the care of a hospice nurse. When I arrived in Chicago, my mom was laying in bed with her eyes closed, struggling to breathe. Now, in those days, I wasn't much of a follower of Jesus. I'm not sure if I exactly fell away from the faith, but I certainly wasn't following Jesus. However, when I saw my mom laying there with her eyes closed, struggling to breathe, I remembered all the times my mom took me to church and taught me about Jesus. Now, my mom grew up a Catholic, and my first thought when I arrived there was she needed a priest. She needed a priest to give my mom the last rites. So I told my dad, and he agreed, so I called the local Catholic church and spoke with the priest. The priest told me that the Catholic Church was no longer perform last rites because, but he did say he would come by her side and pray with us. And I was like, okay, whatever. I don't even know what last rites mean anyway. I just wanted someone or a man of God who followed God to come and pray for my mother. The priest came by my house that afternoon, sat by my mom's side, and led us in the Lord's Prayer. And prayed for Jesus to take her home. And then he left. Now, no disrespect to this priest, because I really did appreciate that he took the time to come and talk to and pray with my mom, pray with us. kids did seem to care, but the prayer seemed very empty to me. It just seemed like we were just going through a ritual. Now, the next day, my mom was still alive and was still struggling to breathe. But as I sat there by my mother's side, the hospice nurse told me she thought my mom was holding on because of her fear that she would leave my dad alone. The nurse told me that my dad needed to go away for a bit to leave my mom be. Now, I don't know if this nurse was a Christian or not, but I suspect she was. But I do know now that God was speaking through her. My sister convinced my dad to go with her to the funeral home to take care of the funeral arrangements, while I stayed by my mom's side. The nurse left as well, and I was there all alone with my mom. I had doubts, but anyway, I just had some doubts that I could do anything for my mom at this point. But I felt this very strong urge to pray for her. And I didn't feel like I was worthy to pray for my mom. I had doubts that God would even listen to me, since I never paid a bit of attention to him over the years. But the urge didn't go away. So I bowed my head and just spoke in simple words to him. I didn't ask God to heal her because of my doubt, but I just humbly spoke to him, admitting to him that I know I haven't spoken to him in a very long time and that I wasn't worthy of anything of him, but I asked him anyway to give me the right words to say to my mother at that moment. I needed him now, but more so my mom needed him. I then felt this very strong push and urge to lean into my mother's ear and tell her first that my dad would be fine and that Jesus loved her and was waiting for her. Now, this may be very hard to believe, but I don't care because I know it's true. When I did that, my mom opened her eyes and a tear came down her cheek and she smiled. And at that moment, where I felt the Holy Spirit throughout the whole room, I felt the Holy Spirit in me, and I felt God's presence, and I felt like he was there, and I knew he was there. God used me that day, just because I humbly came to him and said I needed him. He used that nurse. I know he was speaking to her. And this is how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through other people. My mom needed to hear from God that day. She wanted to know that my dad was going to be okay. And that he was waiting for her. And that's what we are here for. We're here to bring hope into people's lives. We need to understand that sometimes God may ask us to do something that we may not be comfortable doing. It's that small voice inside that makes us uncomfortable. And we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we weren't called to do a particular thing that God is asking us to do because we don't feel like doing it. And God is really not that much interested in how we feel when he has something important to say or to us or for us to do. God will speak in many different ways to get our attention. There are answers to people's deep needs in this world that God wants to speak into their lives, and he wants to use us to communicate those answers, either through actions or through words. This past week, my wife asked me to do story time for the little kids at BBS. Now, my first reaction was, I have no personality or patience to effectively tell Bible stories to little kids. My wife was given that gift by God, and it certainly wasn't given to me, I told myself. And that's very true. I don't have that gift. I would much rather sit around a table with a group of teens, college students, or adults teaching from the Bible. And I believe that's the gift God has given me. So I had every excuse to say no to my wife. Except for one thing. Well, it's really two things. First, as Pastor Doug often says, she that must be obeyed was telling me I needed to do Bible stories for the kids. So I was downstairs doing Bible stories. And secondly, and most importantly, Jesus didn't say we are only to teach about him to only certain people that we feel comfortable being around, or in certain situations that makes us feel comfortable. Jesus gives us a simple command, and it is this, from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, to the very end of age. There was something else I remember the day my mom died. The Word of God. Spoken to me years earlier by my mother. Jesus is the Word of God. And we are so lucky to have this Word written right in front of us. And for many of us, it's laying on a shelf collecting dust, because it hasn't been open in so long. But when I was there with my mother, I didn't have to be a Bible scholar to tell her some simple words that I learned as a child. I remember going to VBS's when I was little. I remember my mom teaching me. And what did I learn? I learned that Jesus loves me. And he loves other people. And he's calling us home. Not just off in eternity, but now. He's calling us. Those are some simple truths. And that was a simple truth I spoke into my mom's ear. That she already knew. But she needed to remind me. So, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Because I want to just sort of talk a little bit before we leave today of how Samuel listened for God's voice. Samuel is now a boy living in the temple with the high priest Eli, learning from him. Samuel's mother, Hannah, kept her vow and gave her son over to the service of the Lord. And by the way, God blessed Hannah with 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. So, as we saw, Hannah giving her only son that she thought over to the service, as keeping her promise, God kept his, and more so. But in chapter 3, it says, in 1 Samuel, the first verse of chapter 3, it says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. We see here that God didn't speak as often to people in the Old Testament times as we may think. When we read about God speaking to anyone in the Old Testament, it was usually for some very specific purpose, to bring about God's ultimate plan. God chose specific people to speak to, and then used them to speak to others. Today we have the Holy Spirit that is available to anyone who has Jesus in their life. Remember how I said earlier that we have an even greater access to speak and hear from God, more so than any time? The Old Testament even says that hearing from the word of the Lord was rare back then, but not so today. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, it says, chapter 10, verse 19 through 22, it says this, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy, most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened up through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. The curtain separating us from Father God in heaven has been torn in two. And the most holy place of God is opened up to us through the body of Jesus Christ. It says it right there for us to draw near to God. And all we need to do is come to him with a sincere heart and have faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he will then give us his Holy Spirit to hear his voice. And we need to believe Jesus Christ gave us this access. As we continue on in chapter 3, we learned one night that God came calling Samuel. God had a task for Samuel to do, even as a young boy. And we learned later that God had many important tasks for Samuel. Samuel even chose the king of Israel. I'd say Samuel was a pretty important person. And God had some pretty important things for him to do. But as a young boy, God came calling. We see in verse 2 of chapter 3. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called?" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," said Eli, "said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, call me." Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, speak. Lord, your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." There are a few things we need to learn from these verses on how to hear the voice of God. Just as Samuel's mother Hannah said, "Your servant is listening." You know, God doesn't usually speak to us audibly. Sometimes he does, though. And when he does, it is usually a whisper in our conscience, but a strong whisper. Do you see how when God was trying to get Samuel to listen and God was like, when Samuel wasn't sure it was him, God was like, "Samuel, Samuel." Those are the voices we hear inside that we don't really know what's going on, but we don't mean just have this strong urge to listen. And that's what God was doing here with Samuel. That strong whisper you hear to listen and act is usually in your conscience. It's that strong urge to do something for God that maybe you don't feel up to doing. Or feel like doing. God is also teaching us something else so profound here that we need to learn how to hear his voice too. Samuel had a problem. Notice in verse 7 it says, "Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." That's very interesting. What did Samuel do at this point? We see that he got up and ran to the high priest Eli. Now we know from scripture that Eli was probably not such a great high priest. But one thing we do know is Eli did know the word of the Lord. We know we need to have other believers around us. When we hear God calling into our lives, we need to have other believers around us to bounce things off of sometimes, to talk to each other. And when we do, it would help us because there are deceiving spirits out there that can talk to us as well. So when deceiving spirits, or maybe our own feelings are talking to us, and we're trying to figure out, is this God speaking to me, or is this something else? We can talk to people that may know and be in the Word, but it's also very important for us to be in the Word ourselves. So when God comes calling, we can say, "Is this of the Lord?" That's what Samuel was doing here with Eli. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep will hear my voice. I know them, and they will follow me." We also know from Scripture that Jesus is the Word. He was the Word from the very beginning. So again, we know that Samuel needed to know the Word to understand if the voice he heard was coming from God. Secondly, Eli told Samuel, "Tell the Lord, your servant is listening." For me, that day when God called for me to lean into my mother's ear, he just wanted me to remind her that he loved her. He loved my dad, and it was time to come home. So let me leave you with a few points from God's word. Hearing the voice of God begins by humbly coming to him or responding to him as a servant. Sometimes God may ask you to do something out of your comfort zone. Humbly respond, your servant is listening. Secondly, we must believe. We must believe he will pull us through and use us for his glory and to love other people around us. And lastly, we need to know his word. In order to test the spirits and whether the voice we hear is from God, from Satan, or from our own feelings, we need to know God's word. Knowing God's word begins and ends with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it also begins with a relationship with others in the body of believers. I would encourage everyone to be in a life group coming this fall. Because these are the times that we can spend with each other when we hear God's voice and talk to each other about that, pray with each other